Right, I think we are recording. Hello and welcome to this month's Everybody's Got One. Today I am joined by the world famous author, Mr. Ripley.
Good evening, how are you?
Oh, I like your fancy voice, sir.
Thought I got a bit Roger Moore on you there, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that was a bit of a scouse, Roger Moore. they do, though, don't they, though?
I'll do my Ringo Starr if you ask nicely.
Go on, then. Come on.
Oh, the fat controller sat in his office until 6 o'clock until he clocked off at 7.
Now, he sounded all from Yorkshire.
I have had a few Bud Lights this evening.
Dilly dilly! Right, so let's get to it. What are you drinking?
Well, surprise, surprise, Silla. I'm drinking Bud Light.
Tonight we're going to have a lot of laughs. We're going to talk to our Chris about all the Bud Light he's been drinking. Dilly dilly.
She'd be joining in, I think, if she was still alive.
Do you know what, right? Well, I'm going to tell you, right, I'm going to cut right to the chase. I am drinking the Reverend James, a pale ale. I'm not dilly-dillying tonight. And over the last couple of days, there's been quite a lot of backwards and forwards, to-ing and fro-ing, quite some intense messages on the After Dark podcast network. Would you agree, Chris?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know when you see your messages, but when you look at your messages, I don't think you're like us who has it on the phone. But when you do see your messages, you must think, what the fuck's going on here? Because there must be like 200 messages or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
And I swear down, I guess you're not sitting there and going back and reading them all. Because I don't.
The worst thing ever happens, I log on to Facebook,
yeah,
and in the top corner there'll be like a red, and there'll be like 12 messages, personal messages from 12 different people. Oh,
well, this is
my thing, heart sinks every time.
Because you are the Prince of Darkness. You are the
right.
The Halloween Horror Nights aficionado, the author, the published author. And you've written, I love your books, I get them every year. So must get fucking inundated with every rumour, every fan second guessing, third guessing. You know, Mike Aiello put a tweet out today of his own face. People must be looking at that like they do with WWDC for Apple. What does the message mean? What is the message? Is it a hint? What's he saying? His hair has been gelled. What does that mean? You must get all that.
I do get all that. In fact, if you want to follow Mike Aiello and actually work out what houses are coming next, look where he goes on holiday.
See,
that's all I'm saying.
That's interesting. There you go. There is a tidbit. And it's only on ego. It's only
exactly.
On ego.
Yep.
So the After Dark Podcast Network is going to, we're trying to expand at the moment, which we're not going to go into just yet. We're going to make some announcements, hopefully. What I will say is I'm looking at an Orlando After Dark style podcast. So we've got the Diz After Dark, Disney, Universal After Dark, Universal, and then potentially an Orlando After Dark, but I don't want to call it Orlando After Dark. I want something a bit more interesting, and that's going. Go on.
What about SeaWorld After Dark?
Oh, yeah, right. Well, that's a good lead. That, to be honest, because from going forward, from probably last night's episode of Universal After Dark, there will be no wanking off of dolphins
or Warwick Davis whatsoever.
Or Warwick Davis and his unusually little hands will not. Oh, no, he's not. Do you know what? He's a national treasure. I love Warwick Davis. Warwick, I know you're a listener. No, I don't. No, I do. He's a listener. We love you. But there'll be no more Warwick Davis jokes. He will not be wanking you off in the cinema on Diz After Dark, Universal After Dark, or any of the yet to be announced podcasts. Okay?
Mm.
This, however, will stay unchanged because this is my baby. Universal is Amanda's, and
our Boston. All right, Chris, we're going to have a lot of laughs.
Right, and Diz After Dark is our Nicholas's. Why use like three words when 274 will do? I've never known one man talk so much utter shit in all my life. But he's part of the network. What can we do? We're stuck with him. So this, and why I'm saying it on this podcast is because the people who listen to this podcast are probably the people who listen to the other shows and enjoy the crude comments. Yeah? That's probably fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
So going forward, please don't unsubscribe to the other shows because they're still fucking brilliant. We love them. But just stay with us because we can finger donkeys on here. Okay? Now, no donkeys are harmed, literally. You need a sense of humour. If you're that fucking up your own arse that you think I actually wank dolphins off, you need to get a fucking grip.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. So that's my little piece about the After Dark Podcast Network. So dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly. I've got the Reverend James in my hand. And as a good Catholic boy, that isn't the first time I've said that.
Oh dear.
I'm not sure if our Nicholas has just come on. Do you know? He's gone black. Once you've gone black, mate.
You never go back.
You never go back. That's why we love Adam Sultana so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't even so know does, who you... Oh,
well, that, so does Grim Grinning Hosts.
Well, what the fuck was all that about? Right. Hey, Grim Grinning Hosts, don't record to my scheduling patterns. I'm going to throw my toys out the pram and I'm going to leave that podcast. Mm-hmm. I ain't getting on no podcast, fool. And then literally 67 days later, he's back on the podcast.
Yeah, they released one show. Change all the artwork.
Yeah, now they've got a Tipex's fucking big head back into it. I mean, right, you've got to listen to I love Metal Under God, right, because I love Americans. Basically, there are ancestors that went over there and all bred with themselves.
Yeah, literally.
And they wonder why they're all fuck-ups. Right, so I fucking loved listening to them. They're genius. Right, the last episode of Metal Hand of God, I've never heard so much fucking shit in all my life. I don't know who this fucking fella is. I don't follow the news. This fucking Nazi racist fella who's just being locked up and everybody's trying to get him free, Tommy, whatever his name is.
Oh, him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He broke the fucking law, basically. He was out, he had a bail thing against him, and he wasn't supposed to do A, B, and C, and he did A. So they've locked him up, because he's broke the terms of his bail. That's it, simple as. And there's a hashtag to free Tommy the fucking nonce, or whatever his fucking name is. And Adam, who, God bless him, lives in a bubble in America somewhere where he can shoot people and fucking do whatever he wants, where the police go around knocking fuck out of people just because they look different to them. He thinks he knows our legal system. And apparently we've lost our freedom.
Right.
Ask Roseanne Barr about freedom. Freedom of speech. Fucking hell, mate. That Roseanne series that's just come out, series 11, I've been watching it, and it's fucking brilliant because Roseanne has got old with me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she's like in her 60s now. I'm in my 40s now. I grew up with Roseanne in the 80s. And here they are, they're still struggling, they're still fighting a good fight. It's some of the best television I've seen in years. And because she sent out one tweet, she was probably fucking high. Her whole fucking career is in tatters. And now they're talking of spin-offs from the Roseanne Barr show. No.
Oh, gosh.
Just, do you know what, right? Just get over yourselves and just carry on. Just bring it back. God bless Roseanne Barr. Hashtag God bless Roseanne Barr. That's all I'm saying.
What? How are you watching it? Where are you watching it at?
Isn't it on E4?
I don't know.
Yeah, it might be. I think it might be. Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I can tell you where I'm watching it. It's E4, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, what else? What else? Have you seen... Oh, right, okay, right. Chris, what is going on in your head that you are so angry with the Star Wars franchise that you will not watch Solo?
I won't. I won't go Solo to Solo.
What was the last Star Wars film you seen then?
I saw the first 20 minutes of episode 8.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So you've seen Rogue One.
Now, Rogue One, I absolutely adore.
Okay.
That I adore.
Right.
But I don't like the new Star Wars. And Star Wars in general... It just... all right, I was watching... Yesterday, I was watching Tracy Ullman. If we've got American listeners, they'll know who she was.
Yeah.
She's got her own show again on the BBC now, and she does a sketch comedy. And she did this sketch comedy of Star Wars, and it was called something like Star Wars, The Next Level of Milking the Viewer. And it was just basically, oh, we're just going to throw any old rubbish out, and we're just going to just keep, you know, we've just rinsed all your pockets from Avengers. But you know what? We want you 3 weeks later. We want you to go out and watch bloody Star Wars now. You know, Disney are just turning their whole film factory into this relentless machine of just throwing out sequels, come what may. I mean, that film was rushed into production. It didn't have a very good script. They sacked the directors, and Ron Howard, you know, been drawn in to try and put it all back together again. It just doesn't play well. It just feels like rampant commercialization of a very good story.
Right, well, some of that I agree with. In respect that Star Wars, the original three films were of a time, obviously. You know, 77 was it till 83. And anything they tried to do after that, of course, was not going to be because all the characters age, all the people have aged. They should have made the prequels, like, they should have started making them in 87, basically.
Yeah.
But according to the big fella, my uncle, the technology wasn't there. Now, I don't necessarily have a problem with 1, 2 and 3. They're not as good as the original trilogy, and I'll rate them as 3, 2, 1. That's how I rate them.
Yeah.
The first one's the worst, the second one's the second worst, and the third one's the best out of them three.
Yeah.
And everything is CGI in them, and that's because people have said that was he's into the latest cutting edge technology, and he went balls deep, literally balls deep. And I think if you can just give these ones a chance, this Solo one, as like Blade Runner is of its time, and this is a historical piece of filmmaking. This. It is absolutely beautiful. It's the best Star Wars film that I've seen.
But I don't know if we need Solo. Do we need a film about his origin story?
I don't know enough about the comic books, but I suspect his Solo story, his origin story, has already been told. And I suspect that they've literally lifted the best bits or the worst bits or certain bits of it and intermingled it with new storytelling and stuck it all in together. Don't forget, there's been hundreds of novels written, hundreds of comic books that are no longer canon, but they're still pulling bits from them stories.
All right, put it this way. Can I throw a theory at you, see what you think? Right. You said to me a minute ago, the prequels, you liked 3, and then 2 was all right, and 1 was rubbish. You liked them 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
And I wasn't doing my dusty bin then either. 3, 2, 1. I remember that.
Yeah, I was there. and Bullseye. 1.
Right, so the theory is...
Just, I live in Bolton, and I've won a yacht. Yeah. What the fuck am I going to do with that?
Do you know what? I spoke to Jim Bowen once. Did I ever tell you that?
No.
Yeah. I spoke to Jim. This is absolutely gospel truth. This was about 10 years ago. For a day job, I work in architecture and construction. And we was working for a client on the south coast in a port that had cruise ships coming in. And we had this big job, and it was finishing in the summer. And the client who owned the port said, why don't you get someone famous to cut the ribbon, and we'll have a little ceremony, and we can put it in the press. Okay, you're the project manager. Go and find a celebrity to cut the ribbon. So, of course, a port on the south coast. There's no one down there, apart from, like, the mayor or, you know, there's nobody. Anyway, so he said, well, look at the cruise ships. See what cruise ships are coming in, going out. See if there's any celebrities getting on the ship to do their turn on the cruise ships. And then, you know, get them involved. So I looked at the cruise ships, and the only one that was coming in when we were finishing was this one cruise ship, and it had Jim Bowen going on it. So they said, well, yeah, Jim Bowen's all right. Everyone knows Bullseye. So I went onto the internet, found Jim Bowen's website, and I just emailed it. Anyway, I got an email back, and it just said, ring this number. So I thought, oh, it's his agent. I'll speak to his agent, you know, sort him out. And the phone goes, hello? I was like, oh, I was calling, it was the email, you know. He goes, hi, yeah, Jim Bowen here. What can I do for you?
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So I'm having this conversation with Jim Bowen. So he goes, right, tell me about the project then, lad. So I'm going, well, it's here and it's there, and you're going to be cut this ribbon, and then it can coincide with the day you arrive at the port, and it's this project that we've been working on for 12 months, and blah, 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 blah. He's going like this. Okay. So then he goes, how far from at ribbon is port? So I said, I don't know, 10-minute walk. Jim Bowen, don't fucking walk nowhere. Put the phone down.
Is that true?
It's true.
Did he cut the ribbon?
No.
That is mental.
Yes, that's my Jim Bowen story. God bless him. He's passed on, isn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of them who just reminds me of my granddad. The memories in the 80s of sitting in my nan and granddad's house and watching Jim Bowen, and thinking your nan and granddad were old when you were little, and now realising that, fucking hell, mate, I must be the same age now that they were then.
Probably.
Do you know what I mean? And do you remember Russ Abbott?
Oh, God, yeah.
What was his show called? The Russ Abbott Madhouse, was he?
Oh, something like that. I remember him dressing up as like a superhero quite often.
And then the Scotsman, see you, Jimmy, see you, and all that. They just don't do it now. I mean, oh, God, I'm going back to Roseanne Barr, but comedians can't be comedians now, can they?
No, everyone gets offended by everything, so you can't.
Who's that Scottish fella? Oh, God, I seen him live.
Frankie Boyle.
Oh, my God. He was in the Liverpool Empire doing Maddie McCann jokes.
Can I tell you my Frankie Boyle story?
Oh, go on, please.
Right. I live in Canterbury at the moment, and he came to Canterbury about, I don't know, 5, 6 years ago, and we've got two theatres. We've got a big one and a little one, and he went to the little one. And the little one is like a large living room. You probably get about 100 people in there, and that's that. And we were lucky to get tickets, and we were in the back row. and he came on, he was doing his shtick, and everyone in the room was in their 20s.
Yeah.
Everybody. Apart from in the front row, in the centre of the front row, was two, was a couple of old people, probably in their 70s, pushing 80. And he came out and he was doing jokes, didn't laugh. And then he decided to stop and go, why aren't you laughing? You know, and they just ignored him. And then he just kept making jokes out of like Viagra for the elderly, and just all the sort of jokes that he does, like you said about Maddie McCann. And these people were just stony faced, looking at the ground, did not laugh. And then half time, they get up, walk out, and didn't come back in. And then Frankie Boyle comes on the stage. He says, "Oh, I need to tell you about the old couple that were in the front." So he said, "Yeah." He said, "They actually won tickets to be here this evening from BBC Radio Kent. And they thought they were coming to see a Susan Boyle concert."
Oh.
Yep. Absolutely true. He absolutely demolished them for half an hour.
Now, he, right, is one of the greatest comics of our generation.
Yeah.
And because of fucking millennials, he must be fucking banging his head against a brick wall. Because we, within the space of 20 years of... It's all down to mobile phones. We can no longer interpret comedy. And we're now offended by everything.
Yeah.
You know, the fucking shit that goes on in the Disney community, the podcasting community, the vlogging community, with all these fucking bellends who are all on Twitter, twitting each other and twatting each other. Because there's no, you can't emote on a tweet. So comedy is dying, and fellas like Frankie Boyle need preserving and saving. Because yes, the Maddie McCann jokes took your breath away, but on a certain level, it's funny.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? He didn't do any Hillsborough jokes. I'll say that. And
did he not?
No, did he? No, Doddy. God. Oh, fuck off.
Don't. I miss Doddy. I did miss Doddy. Yeah, you talk about people from Scouseland. Doddy was one of my favourites.
Well, I live a mile away from his house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, Roddy. No, yeah. Yeah,
I've got a Ken Dodd story, but I feel like I'm going to be on all night long if we keep going down this route.
Do you know what? Right, I only had him, as you know, I'm a train driver. I only ever had him on my train once. I never got to speak to him because I was at the pointy end. But the staff, he always used to tip the staff.
Did right? he?
Yeah, no, Doddy.
Fuck it.
And he literally, there'll be five or there'll be six members of staff on board, any one of the trains, you're waiting on the first class and all that, providing a first class service, a world class service. He would tip them when he got to London £1 each. But do you know what? When you got £1 off your granddad, you were always fucking made up, weren't you?
You were actually.
Because it was always like, that was, whoa, all the wham bars I can buy with that.
Yeah, you could buy 10 chomps with that or 20 Freddy the Frogs or whatever.
Exactly. Fucking, what a fucking man. But anyway, right, I brought you on to talk about the year when your balls dropped, when you become aware of pop culture, when films become relevant, when music become relevant. I do this with all my guests, more or less.
Yeah.
I've sort of fell into this routine now. So what year is it for you?
1994.
That, right, okay. For me, personally, I had just started full-time employment in
93. Gosh.
I had just met my wife.
Mm-hmm.
In 93, and in 94 we had our first foreign holiday in Lanzarote in the September of 94, and that is where we met Stuart Michelle, who is still my best mate now, and was the best man at my wedding. And today, as we record this, is their 19th wedding anniversary.
So
there you go. Happy anniversary, Stuart and Michelle. So, how old are you in
94? 11.
Yeah, that's the year my balls dropped.
I don't actually remember what year it was.
No, well, yeah, I mean, my balls didn't drop when I was 11, but you know what I mean? When I switched on, mine was 1984.
I mean, I can imagine you singing, "We're walking in the air."
Yeah. Oh, my God. I've got memories, right, of singing Mull of Kintyre.
Oh, God.
Right. Now, off the top of my head, that's about 77, I think. Right. So it must have been about 4. Sitting there, bollocko, with a vest on, right? So me knob out.
Yeah.
eating cornflakes.
Right.
In a bottle. So sitting on the floor, cross-legged, with a bowl of cornflakes in between me legs. Mm-hmm. Bollocko. So me knob could have literally been in the fucking milk.
Right. Well, little secret to women, that's how we recharge them.
Yeah.
Get asked that question a lot.
Yeah, that's why I've got 6 pints of milk in the fridge now. The bigger the knob, the more fucking milk you need.
I didn't finish my Star Wars theory.
Oh, yeah, oh, fucking hell, come on. Yeah, oh,
right, I'll do it quick, right?
Yeah.
You like 3, but you don't really like 2 and 1. Everyone loves 4, 5, and 6. No one likes 7, no one likes 8, but everyone loves Rogue One, and no one likes Solo. Reason? They've all got Darth Vader in.
What?
So 3 has got Darth Vader in, because at the end he becomes Darth Vader. 4, 5, 6, obviously Vader.
Yeah.
7 and 8, no Vader, but Rogue One has Vader in it. And spoiler alert, the Void has Vader in it.
What's the Void?
You know, the virtual reality.
Oh, yeah. Hasn't that just shut or just moved or something?
It's just about to shut in London, but it's still going strong in Disney Springs.
I was desperate to take our Grace down there, and I forgot all about it.
I think you've got a fortnight left.
Oh, I might see what I can do. For me, as a child, and I go, we're going off 94 here for a split second, it's a tangent, right? For me as a kid, my favourite Star Wars was Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, me too, I think.
Because that came out in 83, it was 83. I was 10. We went to pictures to see 1, 2 and 3 all in one go. And, like, obviously, you know, we had thermos flasks, fucking butties, crisps, toilet breaks. I lay down in the boot of me uncle's Ford Capri to get to the Liverpool Empire to get to the Liverpool Odeon, which is shut down now. It's moved, obviously, and all that palaver. But that was the one for me. That I had the sticker book. I had the figures for that. The first Star Wars number 4 is boring.
Mm.
And people say it's the greatest. Han Brolo, you know who you are, says it's the greatest. It's not.
No.
Empire Strikes Back is fucking phenomenal. But for me, Return of the Jedi is just it. And people mock the Ewoks. I love the Ewoks.
Yeah.
I wanted to be an Ewok when I grew up.
Yeah.
So, I take your point of the Darth Vader. But Darth Vader's out there. Just because he's not in Solo doesn't mean he's not out there.
True. But do you not think that maybe if they're going to do another origin story film, that maybe they should look at one that may have Darth Vader in it?
I like the idea, right? Avengers, I went to Chippy tonight. I went to K-Tams.
K-Tams?
Oh, yes. I went to KTAMS. Yeah. And I told them that they're on this podcast on a monthly basis. Mm. And I took photographs in KTAMS today, and they're out on Instagram now. Search Everybody's Got One, whatever it's called. I can't remember. I'm pissed. So, but one of the girls in there, she's lovely. She's about 18. And she is a big Marvel fan, a mm-hmm. big Star Wars fan. And she said, right, do you know in Infinity Wars, I can't even remember where I'm going with this. In Infinity Wars, right?
Yeah.
When you see the Hulk mm-hmm. in the adverts with the Avengers.
Yeah.
In Wakanda, all running, charging into battle.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They changed the CGI. She went, no, they never. They've done that on purpose. It's the time stone.
Right.
It's the time stone. She seems to think that has been done on purpose because that is referencing the next film. I can't remember what that's got to do with Star Wars, but...
Well, that's quite a meta theory, really. It could just be that some twat put the wrong footage out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they felt it looked better.
Yeah. We haven't got to the bottom yet of why Bruce Banner is Bruce Banner. I like to think that is a possibility because he's the only superhero that isn't a superhero, so to speak. He's still doing superhero things. He's wearing the Hulkbuster. But that's not really enough. The Hulkbuster ultimately gets taken apart and whatnot, isn't functioning.
Mm.
But you don't do that to the Hulk. And that might just be the one, you know, he looked through a million time slots and only one of them worked. And it might be the one where the Hulk become the Hulk.
Well, it's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the only question I've got is how come every time you see the Hulk, they never, ever, ever do his theme song?
Who knew you could sing?
Well, you know, I'm no walking in the air bloke.
We're walking in the air. It'd be a totally different film, that, wouldn't it?
Well, it's still white stuff everywhere, so it's not a million miles apart.
Yeah, exactly. So, come on, 1984.
94.
You are 10 years old, 11 years old.
In 1994, yes.
Yes. What is, let's talk movies, what is the film that switched you on that you went, fucking naughty?
Well, in 1994, we were spoilt for good films. But the one film that to this day I watch and just belly laugh like you don't know is Ace Ventura.
I've still...
Oh, fuck off, Craig. Fuck off.
I've still never seen Ace Ventura. Oh,
please. How did you not see these films?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I swear to God, right? Now, bear in mind... I am a grown man. I've just found the love of my life in 93. So in 94, we went to pictures a lot because we both lived at home with our mum and dad. So you would go somewhere where you could do a bit of necking. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got the top 100 films here.
Mm.
I seen all of the top 10, top 11 in the pictures. Gets down to 15. I see number 15. Ace Ventura was 16.
No.
And I didn't see it. Now, Four Weddings and a Funeral come out that year.
It did.
As an 11-year-old boy, would you have been tempted to see that?
No.
No, not in a million years. But for me and my wife, that was a thing of beauty.
It was a good film. And it set up the careers of loads of different people, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what was the top movie of that year?
I think it depends on category.
This is American domestic grosses.
Okay,
so keeping it...
Do you got the list there, have you?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you think?
I reckon probably Forrest Gump.
Yes. Absolutely. You've got to bear in mind, right, the technology that is involved in that movie at that time. We haven't even got mobile phones then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, John Lennon is in the movie. Elvis is in the movie. American Presidents is in the movie. All sorts of shit goes down in that movie that just fucking blows your mind away. Well, we went to pictures to see that, definitely. Did you go as an 11-year-old boy? Did you get caught up in that?
No. No. I'll tell you what happened. Where I was living at that point, the cinema that we'd had for years actually shut down in the early 90s. And we didn't get a cinema. I mean, it sounds terribly like old-fashioned or whatever, but we didn't get a cinema in this area until the Star Wars Episode 1.
So is this a local cinema, like a small, like independent type cinema, or was it like...
It was a two-screen cinema, one very large screen and one slightly small screen, and that was it. And then, because I'm talking about Kent as a whole, Canterbury had an Odeon, which Canterbury was never easy to get to because of the traffic. Maidstone didn't have a cinema, I don't think. Folkestone had one on the high street, which was a pain in the ass to get to, which was an old Victorian sort of cinema. And then they did build a new one in Medway. I don't know if anyone cares about this. They did build a new one in Medway eventually. But we went for a period where there wasn't really a cinema we could go to. I think this was the period.
Now, I mean, right, we had my granddad, Nan and granddad, owned a news agent in McGull. This is in the late 80s, early 90s, right? It was called Morehay News. It was on the road Morehay. And around the corner from that news agent was an independent cinema. And he used to come into my granddad's shop for change. And he literally would take all the change. My granddad used to save the change up for him specially. And he'd come in with 100 quid or whatever. And he'd want the change. And this is the time of Michael Jackson, Moonraker, Gremlins 2. That type of film. Ghostbusters 2. All that era. So 89 maybe, something like that.
And 90.
In return for... giving me, you know, swapping change over, he used to open his coat and he would have a roll of tickets and he would just rip off a shitload of tickets. And I used to go to pictures with all my scally mates for free for months. All that year, I seen Moonwalker about 12 times.
Gosh, I've forgotten that film exists.
Everyone has, because of all the Michael Jackson. I mean, Michael Jackson had allegations made against him. Now, if they were made against him now, his career would be over.
God, when I was a kid, he was literally the biggest thing ever.
Fucking unbelievable. But these allegations were made, and he bought them off. That Geordie Chandler, where is he now? Do you know what I mean? He bought him off. He might have seen his knob. He was able to describe his knob or whatever, allegedly. if me and you go to swimming baths now, right?
Yeah,
I'm fairly certain by the end of that session you could describe my knob.
I think you've posted it on our private messages a few times. I'm honest, so probably.
Yeah, I can make it smile and blow smoke out of it. But, you know, whatever, that is, now his career would be over and he wouldn't have settled out of court because you're guilty now it used to be innocent until proven guilty. Now you're guilty with all these allegations. And some of them are guilty, but the majority of them are allegations, whatever.
Yeah.
But that film has just been erased from fucking consciousness. And that Smooth yeah. Criminal video is fucking unbelievable.
Oh, I feel like I want to go and watch it now. it's like we've all been, it's all been erased from our memories, like an episode of Doctor Who, you know?
Yeah, it's like the Mandela effect.
Yeah, again, Mandela effect. But in reverse.
Yeah. So that's my memories of it, of an independent cinema. Now, we seen Gremlins 2, which, like you said, then 1990, I think.
Yeah.
In the picture house, the film breaks. And I think it's Hulk Hogan. Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah. Right, that's not Hulk Hogan. I've done that for Nick just to wind him up. It's Randy Savage or someone who's dead now. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But when that happened, this time we're in the picture house watching the screen break and the film break and Hulk Hogan, oh yeah, like that. The man at the back of the picture house, the member of staff, ran out because he thought the film had broke. and when he ran back in, we were all fucking howling at him, but whatever. So you'd never seen Forrest Gump. Oh, no, you did. No, you never.
I've seen it now. I didn't see it at the cinema. Interestingly, if you're going back to 1989 and 1990, the first film I ever saw at the cinema was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
No way.
Yep.
Now, again, I love that film.
Oh, I adore it.
And I think I love that film more than 1 and 2.
Yeah, I think I'm 3-2-1.
Yeah. Definitely. And do you know what? I don't mind 4.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it? Right, Jonesy.
Oi, Jonesy. Oh, I used to be Nick French, but now I'm just Soapdish. Yeah, Jonesy. There was an episode of one of the podcasts recently where we literally all did that for about 5 minutes. I think Paul Washington collapsed a lung and had to have fucking resuscitation. Now, the second biggest film you must have seen in the pictures.
Was it Lion King?
Yes, it was.
I'm good at guessing this. I swear I'm not cheating. I don't remember seeing it in the cinema. I might have done. I just don't remember.
The first time I seen Lion King was on a dodgy video copy in Amar's house.
Right.
And that must have been about 95. So I'm a grown man. What the fuck do I want to see the Lion King for?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? A load of shit. Now I love it. But then I was 19, 20. You know what I mean? I was going around fucking kicking people's heads in. No, I wasn't.
I remember I saw Aladdin in the cinema, and that was what, the year before or the year before that?
I think so, yeah. Maybe 92, I've got that in my head again.
Yeah, 92.
I wouldn't give a fuck.
I think I did see it in the cinema, but I just can't remember it.
I'm not going to go through them all. I'm going to rattle through the top 10. No, the top 11. Right.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump. The Lion King, True Lies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a Middle Eastern terrorist.
That was. Because back then, we didn't have many Middle Eastern terrorists, did we? It was usually like German-accented people.
It was normally the Russians, wasn't it? The communists.
Russians, commies, yeah.
The commies, you know, that's who Rambo was up against.
That's
and,
true.
Commando and all that palaver. I'm sure.
Die Hard.
Die Hard, yeah. He was a German. Mm. Shoot the glass, right? I'm sure True Lies is the first fucking instance where we piss off the Middle East.
Yes, probably what started it all, in fairness.
A little child, Osama bin Laden, is in the pictures in Saudi Arabia watching that going, you fucking bastards.
So, in True Lies, his wife is played by
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Would you?
Oh, without a shadow. And
because
this,
some people, well, there's this internet rumour about her, and, you know.
I still would.
Yeah?
Yeah. She does a striptease in this film.
Yeah, I mean, if she was hiding something, you'd be able to see it in that striptease scene, I'm sure.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
So, the next film, The Santa Claus.
God, really? Did it make that much money?
Yeah. Locally, in America, $144 million. That's fucking nothing, that now. That's an opening weekend now, isn't it?
That's a wet Wednesday afternoon for some films.
Now, this is linking back to Roseanne. The Flintstones, number 5.
Ooh, fucking hell.
Yeah. And that film is dog shite, but he, as Fred, he was Fred, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Now, one of the greatest films ever made, Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Still hysterical. Unbelievable. How much of that film is ad-libbed?
Oh, a hell of a lot, I'd imagine.
Oh, how they fucking got anything done on that set, I do not know. Right, Clear and Present Danger, don't know what it is.
That's a good one. That is Harrison Ford. If it's the one I'm thinking of, because he made quite a few films that are very similar to this period. I think he was playing the president.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, I think I'm getting it muddled up with Air Force One. No, he was Jack Ryan. This is the one where he played Jack Ryan.
Okay. Has that been done before, Jack Ryan?
Yeah, well, Tom Cruise plays the character now.
Right, okay. Speed. I've never seen Speed.
Gosh, was that 94?
Yeah, do an impression. Come on. Keanu Reeves.
Problem is, I can only remember the Father Ted version.
Go on, then.
Don't go below 5 miles an hour!
I need to watch that.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Oh, Father Ted. Taken too young. Fucking hell.
God. Do you know they're bringing back Father Ted next year as a musical?
Fuck off.
Yeah, as a musical.
Oh, now, I know Nick hates Mrs. Brown. But you know what?
Yeah.
I seen Mrs. Brown in Liverpool twice. Way back when it was just literally on the stage. Mrs. Brown's wedding and Mrs. Brown's funeral, I think they were, where Grandad dies. Fucking hysterical.
I'll tell you what, he lives in Kissimmee, which is true. That's where he lives full time. And my cousin sat next to him on an aeroplane to Florida.
Yeah.
Because he managed to get a flight where he had to get the ferry to Dublin, and it worked out phenomenally cheap to go from Dublin to America. Anyway, he sat next to him for this whole flight, chatted to him for the whole time, said he was the nicest human being he's ever met.
I literally get that from him.
Mm.
Honest to God, right? You go and see Mrs. Brown's boys and, what was it called? I can't remember the other one. But you go and see these live shows in Liverpool, and it's full of all these old women, right? And they've all got hip flasks. So they're all getting the brandy out. They're all getting the gin out. They're all getting the whiskey out. And it is one of the funniest nights of your life. Because everybody is smashed out of their skull, getting more and more drunk, watching them. And they're ad-libbing. And they're falling about. Now, Nick seems to think a lot of their ad-libs aren't ad-libs. They're fucking ad-libs.
Yeah, yeah.
Even on the telly. I don't see the point of the chat show. I think that's a crock of shit.
Yeah.
But even so, it's still all right.
Did you ever go to Splendid China?
No.
Do you know what that is?
No.
It was a theme park in Central Florida.
No, fucking hell.
It was on the 192. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, the 192, yeah.
Yeah, do you know where the Harley-Davidson shop is?
Yeah.
If you go behind the Harley-Davidson shop, there's a road, and it goes up to some villas. That's where he lives.
Oh.
That's where he lives, full time. He doesn't live in this country or island, he lives in Kissimmee.
That's strange. It's a strange place for him to pick, isn't it?
Oh, they're nice villas. I'll give him that. They are nice villas. They're all gated.
Oh, he's got to be a multimillionaire, and God love him, he deserves it. But
yeah,
I don't begrudge him a penny of it because he's made me laugh so hard I've shat myself.
The thing is, Craig, right, that man has been bust twice. He has spent his whole life trying to bring Mrs. Brown to the world in a way in which makes money. And yeah, for God knows, for decades, it didn't make no money whatsoever. He has worked so hard, and I think he deserves every penny that he gets. And I feel a bit like people, you know, say, oh, it's a load of shit, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, maybe it is a load of shit. But, you know, the guy has worked so hard, I think he's due his success, you know?
There's two versions of the film, Mrs. Brown. There's the film where he's Mrs. Brown, and there's another version of it where it's a different actress playing Mrs. Brown.
That's where it went bust. It was meant to be a serious film.
Yeah. And it went under big style. Yeah. It's all them cast members on that TV series are all his family members.
Yeah.
Kathy is his wife. Is it Dermot? That's his son. Is Idiot? What's his idiot mate called? That's his son.
Oh, Buster?
Buster, yeah. That's his real son.
That's his son, yeah.
Yeah, they're all... I'm sure he's got a daughter as well. I'm sure she's on there somewhere. They're so tight, comedically. It's fucking genius. I love it. I'm getting a little semi on. I'm going to kiss him now to fucking stalk him. Right. when I'm there for the weekend. Oh, God. I fucking hope you're there, lad. We're going to get fucking wellied, I'm telling you. Right.
What's next?
Music.
Oh, we haven't finished the film list yet, have we?
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Right. Where was I up to? Oh, yeah. The Mask.
Speed. Oh, yes. The Mask. That's
Speed,
a good one.
Yeah. Speed, I've never seen it. The Mask, Jim Carrey, that's got to be his breakthrough film, I think, with Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber come after The Mask, didn't he?
Yeah, but how can, right, Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber all come out in the same year? How is that possible?
Because he just fucking worked. He just must have just took any job. Is he Canadian?
Yeah.
Was he on Saturday Night Live or anything like that?
Probably.
I don't know his story, his origin story. But, do you know, if three fucking hit films in one year, again, he was part of my formative years, because I went to pictures to see all them.
Yeah.
With my good lady. Used to put a
I can remember The Mask.
Oh, The Mask is hilarious, Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, I can remember going to the cinema.
Yeah. Absolutely fucking phenomenal film. I don't know, I haven't seen it for 20 years.
It hasn't aged brilliantly.
But maybe that's the universe it was set in, because it does sort of remind me of Dick Tracy.
It's a bit comic booky, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so... I'll give it a chance. I might watch it again, actually. I might do. If ever I've got it at my disposal. Pulp Fiction.
Well, that really set the career of Tarantino up, didn't it?
Yeah. Now, that is a work of art. I still don't fully understand I just don't get it. I used to remember when you used to get a DVD... I had a DVD player that I could program the chapters that it played in the order. So
yeah.
I tried to watch that film in the order that it would have been if it was a film.
Yeah.
And I couldn't fucking do it. I could, but I could. I didn't. It just didn't work. The way he did it, it works.
Yeah.
It's fucking brilliant. That was number 10, and I'm just going to throw in number 11, and I'm going to throw in number 15 and number 16. Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
What an absolute film. What an absolute fucking film. Done. I've read the books. The The Vampire Lestat, I think that got made as a film and it was dog shit.
Yeah.
But the book is fucking phenomenal. 15, Star Trek Generations, blew me mind. Absolutely blew me mind.
Well, I am more of a Star Trek fan than a Wars fan.
Yeah.
I'll say that now. So that's the other reason why I keep doing Star Wars down, maybe. But I'm really excited for the rumours that that supposedly Universal are considering building Star Trek stuff. That is very exciting.
I think everything goes in peaks and troughs, doesn't it? And Star Trek was reborn, shall we say, in the 90s with The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Now, was that all 90s or was that late 80s as well?
It was late 80s as well.
Yeah. So Generations was a way of tying up the two franchises together.
It was, yeah.
The originals and the new ones. And
which is good. That's genius. And you like that film. I like that film as well. I mean, it's not the best Star Trek film, but it does tie the two franchises together and it makes sense. What I don't like with the new Star Trek films is they've gone, right, we're going to completely scrap all the history of Star Trek and we're going to do this whole new complete load of films and completely change the canon so it's completely unrecognizable. And that was J.J. Abrams' idea. And he's the one that's screwing Star Wars up.
I mean, for me, he hasn't screwed Star Wars up, but that's a different conversation. Star Trek, they've made three films now, haven't they?
What?
Of the new?
Four, I think. Yeah, four.
Is it four? Fuck.
Well, Generations, First Contact.
No. The reboot.
Oh, the reboot. I want to say three. Yeah, I want to say three.
I think I've only seen the first two. And I totally understand what you're saying, that they are sort of dismantling everything that's gone before. But then they contradict themselves by having the original Spock in the first one.
Well, they get Benny Cumberbatch in to play this character. They spend the whole time saying, oh, he's not Khan. He's not Khan. Seriously, he's not Khan. And then the twist at the end of the film is, oh, he's Khan.
Yeah.
What a load of crap.
And again, I've only seen them two films once, maybe. So I need to watch them again. Fucking hell, I'm going to be busy. Now, number 16 was Ace Ventura. Four Weddings.
You need to watch.
Yeah, I need to watch it.
It's all filmed in Florida, Ace Ventura.
I've heard that.
Ace Ventura 1 and Ace Ventura 3 are all shot in Florida. I actually saw them shooting Ace Ventura 3. And they were trying to push them out the door because they ran over for Halloween Horror Nights. And in the end, they scrapped, literally got a big skip, and they put all the Ace Ventura 3 stuff in this skip so they could build whatever year it was of Halloween Horror Nights.
Fucking hell. Is that referenced in one of your books?
I think it probably is.
Oh, go and buy Chris's books.
I'm Jimbo and I don't fucking walk nowhere.
Now, right, we're going on here. I'm going to talk music quick. 11-year-old Chris Ripley, is he into music?
You missed 23 and 24, but we can come back to those if you like.
Okay.
Music, maestro. Back then,
23 and 24 on the movies.
Yeah.
Naked Gun 33 and a third.
Yeah.
Now, you can't watch them because of him.
I actually had a few years ago a Naked Gun 33 and a third moment in real life. I literally did.
Go on.
This is absolutely true. I was in South London and I was lost. I was looking for this job and it was a college. And I was driving around the streets. I forget which borough it was. And there was this white woman pushing a pram. I pulled up side of her. And I said, excuse me. I said, do you know where the local college is? And she went, this is my job. And walked on. I thought, oh, okay. All right. So I carried on driving. And then there's a taxi driver parked up. A white guy with his arm out the window. And I pulled outside and I said, hey, excuse me, mate. I said, do you know where the local college is? Oh, don't be sure. Get off it. And then I parked up. I thought, well, it's on this road. The sat-nav said it's on this road. I parked up. I was walking down this road and there was this black gentleman walking towards me with like a muumuu on and a full-on turban. And I thought, excuse... No, don't worry. And as I walked away, he went, what can I do for you, mate? He went...
Oh, God, I need to watch Naked Gun again now. You're doing my head in. Fucking doing me head in.
That's a true story that actually happened.
I'll be like that, Kerry. I'm just going in here. I'll see you next Wednesday. And what was the other one you said?
What, 24?
Oh, The Crow. Never seen
it. I only say that because that's Amanda's favourite film.
Why is that Amanda's favourite film?
Oh, you have to ask her.
The Crow sounds shit.
Say that to her.
Alright, okay, so what's it about? A black beard, right? Or a fucking big bogey?
Well, it's about... I think he was originally a cartoon... not a comic book character, wasn't he?
I don't know. It just sounds shit.
It was Bruce Lee's son, whose name I forget. It was his last film. I think he died making the film.
Yeah.
It's like a gothic horror action. I haven't seen it for years. I only half watched it then.
Right. So you've just triggered me there because have you listened to The Customer Is Always Weird?
No.
Yeah. Right. That's Theme Park Traders' new podcast where they review, they review people's reviews of things. Mm-hmm. So it could be a butt plug, it could be the new the Miley Cyrus autobiography. It's fucking brilliant. It's dead funny. And one of the voices that he does is Asian Liam Neeson. I will find you and I will fuck you up. It's fucking genius.
Oh, so, buy your chips from Katam.
Whoa, there's an advert. Right, music, we're into music.
Well, sort of. Back then, there was a war going on between Oasis and Blur. And because I come from the South, we all like Blur, but you cocky Northerners, you all liked Oasis.
Well, I was the opposite.
Was you?
I loved Blur.
Yeah.
Now the biggest album, the album of the year was Oasis, Definitely Maybe. But it was followed by Park Life. Now, Park Life, for me, was fucking phenomenal.
God, that was...
But... Park Life hasn't dated well, whereas Definitely Maybe I could listen to now.
Confidence is a preference of the habitual voyeur of what is known as Park Life.
Exactly. I fucking loved that album. But I just
loved that album.
Yeah. It was huge.
That album on the cover had two racing greyhounds.
Yeah.
And we used to go dog racing. And it was that photo was taken at Walthamstow dog track. It's a shame actually Nick's not on because he probably got stories about these. But it was taken at Walthamstow dog state. It's not there anymore. And I remember in the early 90s as a kid, or late 80s maybe as a kid, going to Walthamstow dog track. And there was this dopey drip of a boy called, you know, like they used to collect glasses because men were drinking pints, they'd leave them out everywhere. They'd have glass collectors who'd have these little baskets. They'd go around picking up all the glasses that people had been drinking. And there was this drippy blonde haired with curtains drip of a boy. And he used to come and go, Have you got any glasses? Oh, have you got any glasses? Anyway, that drip of an idiot boy that I remember back at Walthamstow ended up playing for Man United and marrying Posh Spice.
Fuck right off.
No. David Beckham.
Oh, my God.
I knew him then.
Right. Again, I listened to a lot of football podcasts, so I've just listened to one recently. I did the Football Ramble, and they talk about 1998. And the game against Argentina that made him a man, basically. That foul, the red card, burning effigies of Beckham. you know, after that, you know, he was fucking ridiculed and mocked. And the newspapers, you can't do it now, but the newspapers went after him big style.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we don't need the Sun up in Liverpool, but the fucking, we call it the Scum, but the Scum, the Mirror, the Star, everyone went after Beckham after that game.
Yeah.
So you knew him.
Yeah. He used to come around with his little bastard guy, you got any empties? You got any glasses? Any empties? No. Okay.
That literally sounds like a Ronnie, fuck the two Ronnies there. Fucking hell. So,
yeah.
I mean, apart from that, I mean, I'm looking through the top albums. I never listened to any of these. Nirvana, the Beastie Boys, Manic Street Preachers, Portishead, Orbital, Prodigy, yeah. I listened to the Prodigy.
Orbital did a few good dance tracks.
Not for me, they didn't.
But the biggest hit of 1994 was the song that tied into Four Weddings and a Funeral, which was Wet Wet Wet's version of Love Is All Around Me.
Yes. Now, this is fucking synergy, this. Fast forward to 98, right? My wedding to my wife, who 20 years next month, right? I had one job, one fucking job at that wedding. Right, so on the night of the wedding, I've got envelopes full of money in my pocket. That's what the groom does, right? You have to pay the fucking DJ. Okay, so I gives the job to the best man, Stewie. Yeah, I says, Stewie, go and pay the DJ the rest of his money, and tell him. The song for the first dance for the bride and groom is Wet, Wet, Wet's Love Is All Around. Yeah? Off he goes. He comes back 5 minutes later. This is 1998. So this is basically, apart from the Princess Diana's Dead song, this is the fucking biggest song of the 90s.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't got that. That's what he said. I haven't got that.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. So Stewart thought on his feet and got Have I Told You Lately That I Love You by Van Morrison.
Okay.
And that was our wedding song. So neither of us picked it. Neither of us wanted it. But we danced to it regardless. And the other day when I was thinking about it, we're driving back from Penrith where we'd had the girls up. They'd been up on holiday with their auntie. We're driving them back from Penrith. What was our wedding song, Kerry? And Kerry's like, I've got no idea. Right? So I text Stuart on my phone, on my hands free, on my car. So I'm talking to Siri. I have a blazing row with Siri trying to text Stuart. What was our wedding song? He fucking tells us within a heartbeat. Within 30 seconds, he replies. He can't remember to put his fucking pants on in the morning. but he remembers our wedding song from 1998. And it just so happened to be the biggest song of 1994.
Gosh.
And then the next song... And we're going on here, so we'll wind it up now. But the next song, Wickfield, Saturday Night.
Oh, Saturday Night.
Yeah. So I'll very quickly. We goes on holiday in 1994, September, to Lanzarote. The first week of the holiday, me and Kerry are going to the Red Lion, and staying up dead late, right? We're staying up till like nearly midnight. England, who didn't qualify for the USA World Cup in 94, are playing the USA at Wembley in that September. So we go to the Red Lion to watch the match. Stuart Michelle come up to the table. Hey, mate, are these two chairs taken? Yet they are, I says. Kerry, no, they're not. And a friendship is born. We were then, for the rest of the holiday, we stayed out till 5-6 o'clock in the morning with them, fucking partying. And wow. That was the song that we brought back to Liverpool. To go to the parties, the surprise, 21st, whatever. No, everybody had heard of it, but nobody was doing the fucking dance. We knew the dance because we were doing it in Lanzarote. Yeah. We were fucking celebrities in our own heads. Do you know what I mean? We could do that. I couldn't do the dance now. It put me fucking back out. But...
Mm. I prefer the follow-up song.
Go on.
Sunday morning and I think I need the pill. Da, 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 and I'm pregnant.
Sunday morning and I'm dripping full of cum.
Bum, bum, bum.
Licking dogs out.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was well better, yeah.
Yeah, that's a better version.
Now, I mean, have you got anything else you want to add for 94?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is the birth of everybody's favourite sitcom, Friends, began in 1994.
I watched episode one. And yep. I was very angry and very bitter because Cheers had finished.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously before Friends, but it was billed as from the writers of Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched Friends episode one. Fucking shit, that.
The PlayStation was released.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which kind of changed gaming, didn't it?
Yep, so I got a Sega Saturn.
Which... didn't last 2 minutes, did they, the Saturns?
No.
And then a huge event that happened, which I'm sure everybody remembers that was around at that time, was the O.J. Simpson scandal.
Was that 94?
That was 94.
So we'd literally had all the money from Naked Gun 33 and a third.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. That's pretty special. And you can remember that car chase, can't you, in slow motion down the fucking the highway or whatever they call them.
The thing is, I've been down that freeway, right? It's always bumper to bumper. The one day he has a car chase and it's opened up.
That's fucking mental, that. At what point, right, going off on a fucking mad tangent here before we go, at what point did you decide you could write books?
I see. Actually, 1994 was the first time I sat down to try and write a book. Funny enough, it was, and it was. What was it now? It was a story. I was trying to write a horror fiction book about a back then. You remember, it was always in the news about these panthers and things that were on the loose in the countryside. Yeah.
Normally the south of England or the Yorkshire Moors and all that.
Well, exactly. So we had that all the time where I live. So I started writing this horror novel. I don't even know where it is now, about a panther that was striking in this village. And I think I got about a third in and then gave up and discovered that I had a penis and there was girls. So,
The killer penis from Mars.
Yeah, exactly, as you do. And I'd also, I don't know if it was this year or a year after, I did start to write sort of Star Trek scripts, like writing my own episode.
No way.
Yeah.
So obviously, does this all get put to bed because you're doing your GCSEs and your A-levels? You must have a degree, have you?
Yeah.
So you're doing all that. Do you continue with your writing while you're doing all your education and you're partying and you're getting into girls?
Not really. I mean, funny story. I remember when I gave the script to my English teacher, the Star Trek script, for her to check it, see what she thought. And the comment she came back with was, do you remember in Star Trek they had the Ferengis?
Yeah.
She put a line through it, and she put, is this in reference to Princess Fergie? No.
Had she sucked toes, or she had the toes sucked by then?
Probably. I think she was sucking toes. I think 94 was also when Childs admitted he was shagging Camilla.
Fucking hell.
It all went down in 94, mate. It all went down.
Fucking yeah. So did I.
Clarissa Explains It All ended in 1994.
No way.
And so did Doug.
Fucking hell. I never watched any of them because I was a grown man.
Yeah.
You know, so that literally you're a totally different fucking kettle of fish, aren't you? Now, so when did you bollocks switch on to writing books, and when did you think I can do this? And you must have went to Halloween Horror Nights before, and when did you realise, hold on a minute, there's a market here?
Well, I had been to Halloween Horror Nights, and it wasn't a big part of my life as it is now. I'd sort of been to it and it was all right. I liked it. It was quite good, but there was other things going on. I didn't really think about it, and I didn't go to a lot of some of the middle years. I sort of went early and then didn't go for a while. Cause you know, it's back then in this time frame, you'll know what I'm talking about. It wasn't that common for people in this country to go to America, was it?
No, you were like a celebrity.
Yeah, you were. You were.
So, this is like, I went in 93, first foreign holiday with our family ever. And then I didn't go again till 2001.
Yeah, which is common.
And then 2009, and that's when shit got silly then. You know, and it was 10, 12, 14, 15, yeah. 16, you know, so on and so forth. So at what point did you realise, I can write, for one, you know, I can structure a book because I wouldn't know where to start. I can do that. And
well, I did some short courses on how you structure books, and I did some research into people that had released their own books, because being a complete unknown, trying to approach a publisher is just, you know, you've got to be incredibly lucky to get a publishing deal. And I'd been collecting stuff from Halloween Horror Nights for years. Like when we went, I would, like when I used to go to Florida, I used to go around, you know, you had the you'd go to like Sizzlers or Golden Corral, and in the foyer they'd have those little maps and booklets, and
yeah,
you know what I mean. I think they probably still got them. I would collect all of those, so I had these all in boxes and going back years, and I got them all out and sifted through them, and I thought, you know what, nobody has ever really told the story of Halloween Horror Nights, and I was looking for a project to write about, and I thought, well, this is probably an ideal thing to write about because no one had ever done it.
Yeah,
it had been going on for years, so there's definitely an audience for it. I started to do the research. That took a couple of years to get together. And then I started working out who was part of the early days of Halloween Horror Nights, because it was quite evident early on that if they still work for Universal, you couldn't really talk to them unless it was done. Well, there's a lot of hoops to jump through. And back in the early days, I was a nobody. So, you know, they didn't want to know. So I spoke to a lot of the people from the early days that had retired or gone to Disney, interviewed them and added that into the research. And then so I had all this research, and I had all this stuff, and then I just had the actual process of doing it. And I was sitting down and I flicked the TV on, and they was interviewing Jeffrey Archer. And we all know Jeffrey Archer. He's a bit of a, you know, well, I won't go into it, but we all know he's a bit of a character. He writes books, and a lot of people take the piss out of them, saying they're pretty rubbish, but other people love them. Anyway, he was being interviewed, and they said to him, how do you write all your books? And he said, I'll give you the best piece of advice now, he said, is once you've done all your research, doesn't matter how long you've taken to do it, he said, once you've finished, just write it and write and sit down and write and just keep writing and writing and writing until it hurts. And then within a month, 6 weeks, whatever, you'll have it finished. If you take a week to do a chapter, you will never finish. And my mind flashed back to 94, sitting down with this very crude large laptop trying to write this horror fiction book about this panther that it took so long to do because I kept stopping and pausing and thinking about it and changing it and going back. And Jeffrey Archer said on this TV program, no, just get it done. That's the important thing. And once you've finished it, you've done your 100,000 words or whatever, then you go back and you change it, you correct it, you spell check it, you do all the other stuff. You do it that way around. Otherwise, you will never finish what you're writing.
Yeah.
So listening to Jeffrey Archer, you know, I did it that way and I got it done and that's how it came about.
And now, how many books have you published?
Well, the Florida one I've rewritten. Yeah. I've added to it basically every year when I find more information out, which I got the other day. A publicist asked me for a copy. I'm trying to get an interview with someone and they said, can you send me a copy? I said, yeah, it's fine. So I went and got last year's book, which I haven't looked at for ages, and I got it off the shelf, and that book must be nearly 2 inches thick.
Fucking
I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, I actually wrote this.
And it's never going to get thinner, is it?
No, I think it must be 140,000 words now, something like that.
Now, you're obviously the unofficial Halloween Horror Nights guide.
Yeah.
And you've obviously got all these wonderful relationships with Universal that allows you access. Would it ever become an official guide?
I spoke to I think he was the head of licensing and publishing at Orlando. I think he's gone now. And he said to me that my book is an absolute clusterfuck because I reference IPs that they've used in the past that they now no longer have a business relationship with.
Right.
So because of that one point, and everything's fair use in America, you can show clips of Star Wars on your TV shows and you can quote people and you can do a lot of different things like that. And it's called fair use. And my book is fair use. But just because of that one point, because I'm talking about, and I'm not critical in the book. I don't say, oh, this was done terrible and this was
it's
ridiculous idea. You know, it's just factual.
It's very much a factual reference guide. Yeah. You know, all them words.
So he said that because I'm referencing these other third parties, that's why it could never be official.
For it to be official, they'd have to own all the properties, basically.
Well, Universal did pitch to me once about doing an official book where we just talk about Universal stuff. But there wasn't as much enthusiasm for it, and that they kind of felt that it might take a lot of their time to do and that they might not get the financial return for it. Because let's be honest, unless you're J.K. Rowling, books really don't make a lot of money.
And was that just like the movies, was it, or in reference to the theme parks?
Well, more of a focus on just Orlando and what they do for like original stuff and all of the ins and outs, the stuff that they do as a department rather than anything else.
It would definitely have a market, but it's a niche within a niche within a niche, isn't it, at this point?
It is, yeah, yeah. I haven't mentioned this on the other podcast. I don't know how many listeners we get on Ego, but this is an exclusive. I am working on another Halloween Horror Nights book, which is nothing to do with Orlando.
Oh. Is it on the other coast, per se?
It might be on the other coast, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. And Halloween Horror Nights does go on in the Far East, does it?
It does, yeah. There's two different theme parks out there that it happens. And I've also found, I've been doing a lot of research about Halloween Horror Nights on a world stage. Halloween Horror Nights has existed in Orlando and Hollywood and then the two Asia parks. But I've also found that it has existed in a fifth location that everybody seems to have forgotten about. So I'm writing about the fifth location as well as the other four, as the other three rather, in this separate book. And I'm also looking at how Halloween has become an industry in itself now And also, I've been looking at the history that Universal has, the relationship that Universal has had, not only with horror, but the relationship it's actually had with Halloween, and how much Halloween stuff they've actually done in addition to Halloween Horror Nights, when some years there was no Halloween Horror Nights. I mean, Halloween Horror Nights started in 86, it went away, it came back again in the 90s, it went away. This is Hollywood I'm talking about. So although the event went away, Halloween didn't. And a lot of that has been forgotten. And also, before that, before the 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, Universal's been around a hell of a long time, and Halloween's been around a hell of a long time. They've been celebrating Halloween on that coast many, many times. So that's everything that's going into this new book at the moment.
Oh, so you're literally spinning plates.
Yeah, that's why the Orlando book is late, because everyone keeps saying, when's the new Orlando book coming out? It's late because my attention has been drawn onto this other book at the moment, but it will be, there will be a new Orlando edition.
I mean, at some point. I don't want you to jeopardize anything, but you must know what's coming this year to have your book ready.
Yes. So I literally know everything.
Wow. And I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to ask you. But that is a hell of a burden to carry.
It is. And I get no end of people asking me. And I get no end of people sending me what they think's coming and rumours that they've heard and whatnot. And it's an event that I think that's had a lot of changes in the design stage by the sounds of it. And I think if you like original houses and original scare zones, you're going to be very happy for this year. And I wouldn't think you're going to probably have an icon. I think Stranger Things is going to literally be everywhere. So it'll be a mixed bag this year. There won't be as many IPs as we think.
Well, I'm not going, so I don't care. However, I am going next year. And I'm crossing all my fingers and I'm hoping that you're going to be there. I think Amanda's going to be there. And I'm hoping Nick and Paul are going to be there. So there could be a Universal After Dark meetup next year. Not this year, next year, people.
Well, we are having one this year without you, but...
Yes.
I say sorry now.
No. Do you know what? I'm never jealous of people that get to go to Orlando, and I celebrate it. When people in work are going to Orlando for Disney or Universal or anything, I'm absolutely buzzing because it is the most unbelievable place on the planet.
Do you become a Jedi Master as soon as someone says to you, oh, you know, I'm booking a holiday to Florida, what do you think?
The thing that burns me out the most is when people come to you for advice and then act on none of it.
Yeah, oh, I hate that.
It just drives me head in. But I do. I get so excited to talk about it.
A friend of mine is going to Florida in September, and he said to me the other day about it, and I gave him tips like you would have done to get the best price, to get the best of what he wants, and he ignored it all, which really annoyed me. But, you know, that's what they want to do. That's what I didn't want to do. So he had booked a package through a travel agent to stay club level in the Hard Rock Hotel, which I don't think club level is worth it in the Hard Rock Hotel. But anyway, that's what he wanted. He booked that. And I said to him, oh, okay. I said, are you going to do Disney? And he said, we're there for a week and we want to do Universal. We're going to get in there early because of staying at the Hard Rock, get the fast passes as well. Yeah, great. You've done your research. Yeah, we've probably got a couple of days that we can do at Disney. So I said, well, if you're only going to do a couple of days at Disney, you can actually buy two-day passes now through the UK Disney site. That's the cheapest place you can buy them, or just turn up at the gate and buy them. What does he do? He goes on to his travel agent, who is tied in with Lowe's in America, and buys his Disney tickets. He doesn't get Hopper. He gets a seven-day pass for him and his two daughters. And I think he said it cost him £700 each.
Fucking hell.
For his non-hopper pass to Disney, and he's only going to be going on 2 days of his holiday.
Fucking mental. I mean, the Disney over here will give you 14 days for the price of 7. That's a big fucking draw.
Yeah.
So what the fuck's he bought there?
Well, trying to understand what he was saying, it sounds as though the travel agent has referred him to Lowe's, and then he booked it through Lowe's, who are Universal, who are buying him Disney tickets.
Jesus Christ. What a fucking idiot.
And he just said, well, Universal Disney, it's all the same thing, isn't it? Oh. No, it really is not.
And that's another thing I don't get. I'm not into Disney. Okay, fair enough. But you've got to go. If you're in Orlando, you've got to go to them theme parks.
Yeah.
And there's different varying degrees of enjoyment and whatnot, you know. But without getting into the politics of it before all the Disney bell ends start fucking bleating. But you've got to go to Disney. It's fucking amazing. Everything over there is amazing. This is the thing. I always used to that's the only place you can go and ride the Twister ride or the Twister experience. But it's shit. It is shit. But it's the only place on the planet you can go. So to go and see it, it means that you're actually there. So just suck it in and enjoy it for 10 minutes, dickhead.
I remember in 92, when I was still at primary school, when the teachers couldn't be bothered, they used to wheel the TV in. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And she wheeled the TV in, and this guy and his family had just come back from Florida. And we watched for an afternoon his father's holiday video that he'd filmed on this giant fucking camera that he'd taken to Florida. And the only thing I can remember from that is seeing them at Typhoon Lagoon, where they're in the water and that big wave comes out.
Yeah.
This giant wave, and then washes them out, and then you see them laughing and jumping around and just having a really good time. I remember seeing that and thinking how alien all that was and just how amazing it looked. And it was just a wave machine.
Yeah. It's fucking unbelievable. Just absolutely unbelievable. Right. We did say you are going to give a book away.
Yep.
So I'm going to put you on your spot now, or on the spot. Mm-hmm. I'm going to a Chris Ripley question. Anything in the world, mate. Any question. And only you know the answer.
Okay.
And the email is going to be sent to disafterdark@gmail.com. There's one copy of this book. The first correct answer to come in. There's no draw. There's none of that shit. The first correct answer to come in will win the book. And that can only be a listener on this episode. It's not going out on social media anywhere.
No.
So, Chris, whenever you want to go on.
Question is then, referring to what I was talking about with the other book, how many locations in the world have had Halloween Horror Nights?
There you go. Nice and simple. You put that answer in, you'll get a reply, because we're not robots. And the first answer wins the book. And Chris will post it out, yeah? Worldwide.
I will sign it and post it. It doesn't matter where you live. I will find you.
I will find you. And I will cook you some egg fried rice.
And if you don't know the answer, just rewind the podcast 10 minutes and you'll find the answer.
Yeah. Unless I edit it out. Mindfuck. And on that note, cue the music. That's what you say at the end of the podcast.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just say something else?
Yeah. Oh, go on then. Fucking hell. Go on.
Who's that gut lord marching? You should cut down on your pork life, mate. Get some exercise. Pork life.
Good days, bad days, just take them as they come along. Well, I say, you say, don't even matter to me. Smiling on the other side, smiling on the other. smiling on the other side. Smiling on the other side. Sweet dreams, sad dreams. Have another bit and you can just forget. Left town, downtown, I couldn't care less. Just tell me where to be, and I'll be there. Smiling on the other side. Smiling on the other side. Climbing.
Where I'll end it. Oh, fucking hell, mate.